The Ruby in the Rough by Stilton Basket. Read by Daisy Divergence. Summary. In which something is rotten at the heart of Lan Ling, and Lan Xichen attempts, and fails, to discover what it might be. Author's notes. It's time for me to embrace my roots, i.e. making characters come back to life in different bodies after they've died. Tell me who you want Wei Oxian to come back as next in the comments. Reader's notes. New Stilton Basket fic. You know I had to podfic it. So this went up yesterday, and usually I try to do it the night of, if possible, and last night I just had other plans, so I'm doing it this morning, and I actually tried to start recording it last night, and the little dog was just not having it, so I'm starting fresh today, because it's not that long, so might as well have less chaos, less Discord calls in the middle of the recording, all of it. Although I'm sure that Wei Oxian would approve of chaos, but let's just start it fresh, and maybe I'll include a little blooper at the end. I've never done that before, but that might be fun. Anyway, I'm doing this as a cold read. The second half will be an ice cold read. I got probably about a fourth of the way into it before all the things started happening. So the second half will be ice cold. The first half will be my second shot at it. But anyway, this also means that I'm going to do little to no editing on this, so I'll be leaving in the mistakes. It'll just be like your friend just reading you a story. So let's tuck in and get started. Though the loss of its master was disastrous enough, the first true sign that all was not well in Jin Ling Tai came a fortnight after Jin Guan Yao's death. "They say that Jin Furen refuses to wear mourning," Nie Huaisong said to Lan Xichen when he visited Gusu in the wake of Jin Guan Yao's funeral. What if something's happened, Xichen Gege? She was devoted to Sangge, so why would she? For a moment, Lan Xichen was sure that he must not have heard Nie Huaisong correctly. Xinsu had been distraught at the funeral, so much so that even Wang Ji, who agreed to join the Lan delegation less than a Xichen before it, departed the cloud recesses, though he did not tell Lan Xichen why he changed his mind about attending, felt obligated to comfort her. And given her state when Lan Xichen saw her last, the mere notion that she might abandon her widow's robes was utterly incomprehensible. "What do you mean she refused to wear mourning?" Nie Huaisong gulped and hid half his face behind his fan. "I mean she took off her mourning robes and then had them burned, Erga. I asked Song Wei to visit the tower to see how she was faring, and when she came out to greet him, she was wearing a scarlet chun with silver embroidery on it." This was so far beyond belief that Lan Xichen nearly dismissed Wei Song's report at first. Perhaps, he thought, Jinsu was in such distress that she appeared before Nie Zong Wei in one of her old robes by accident. Or perhaps the chun was in fact a shawl pulled on for warmth rather than a dress. But he wrote to Jin Su that evening, asking her if all was well. And though he visited the mail office nearly every day during the week that followed, he received no reply. And this, though Lan Xichen did not realize it, just then, was the second sign that something had gone amiss in Lan Ling. The third sign came nearly 2 months later, when the heads of Lanling Jin's subsidiary clans gathered at Jinling Tai to explain their dealings with the sect to Qin Su. Lan Zichan was in attendance as well, for he feared that his sworn brother's widow might be fooled into treating with them more leniently than they deserved. And so, much to his surprise, was 10-year-old Jin Rulan. "Our relationship may continue as it is," she said to the sect leader Shang Qin Wu sect. "You once received the patronage of Qing Han Ye, was it not so?" "Yes, Jin Furin," Wu Zongzhu answered, bowing her head. "Our ties to Qing Ha were mostly severed when the late Nie Zongzhu passed away. It was agreed upon that the patronage would demand too much of the young Nie Zongzhu's attention, so Jin Zongzhu took it over in his stead." "Truly? How curious," Jin Su muttered, rifling through the vials laid out before her. That patronage was begun when Nie Huang Yin was a child at his father's knee, but I digress. The old terms are amenable to me, so if you are satisfied, we can consider this negotiation concluded." Wu Zongzhu nodded. "I am, but..."
"You had not mentioned our terms," Su Zongzhu said sourly, from his seat by the one at the foot of the table. He had wanted to sit by Qin Su's left, but she had given that seat to her nephew, and the chair on her right to Lan Zichen. And as a result, Su Xia had been growing visibly more irate since he first arrived.
"Jin Zongzhu would have wanted..."
"I do not plan to act in accordance with Jin Zongzhu's wishes. He left no will, save a document he had signed naming Ah Ling his heir after Ah Song passed on. So I shall act as I see fit." The breath caught in Lan Zichen's throat.
"Pardon?
I mean what I say, Su Zongzhu. There are records here of money changing hands, 1,000 tiel at a time or more, from my late husband to you. But no record of what services you rendered to him to merit such payments, or any mention of difficulties in Mo Ling. As such, I can only conclude that my husband believed that Mo Ling Su were in need of aid for some reason, and since you are here and have confessed no hardship on the part of the Su, I see no reason for the patronage to continue. Su Zongzhu is capable enough to fend for his clan, I am sure. So, from this day on, you may consider the Lanling Jin your ally, rather than a patron." Su Xia's face went white.
"You!"
"Su Zongzhu cannot blame me for being harsh," Su Xia said simply. Qin Su said simply. "I am merely a regent for my nephew, and I will not have the Jin coffers emptied but into Mo Ling Su's by the time of his reinstatement." At this, Jin Rulan crossed his arms and nodded.
"I agree with Auntie. Su Zongzhu and his people should earn his own money, shouldn't he, Auntie?"
Qin Su looked at him and smiled, and to Lan Zichen's astonishment, the next 5 negotiations proceeded much as her discussion with Su Xia had done. Su Xia was found dead 4 weeks later, having succumbed to a Yao Guai of much the same kind as the one that killed Jin Guanyao. And this was the 4th sign that something was terribly wrong in Lan Ling. The 5th sign came by surprise, not long before the first anniversary of Jin Guanyao's passing. Lan Xichen was woken in the middle of the night by his uncle and dragged up to the Meisha, still in his stocking feet. And once there, Lan Xichen collapsed into a chair and put his head in his hands. "Uncle," Lan Xichen asked, wondering if he was still dreaming. "What is wrong?"
"What is wrong? He asked me,"
Lan Xichen said faintly.
"Do you know where your brother is, Xichen?"
Lan Xichen blinked. "He's night hunting in Tai'an. He is perfectly safe," he replied, his voice softening. There was a report of a fierce corpse infestation, and half of the outer disciples at Jinling Tai have left since Ayo's death. So Wang Ji thought to offer his aid. It is good for him. He has always been fearful of leaving Shizui's side for too long, so I hoped." His mother stared up at him in despair.
"Good for him," he cried in tormented tones. "Good for him, you fool! Niu Aisong has been offering his aid at the border since the new year, so what could possibly warrant Wang Ji going there?"
"I thought..."
"Zhang Zongzhu caught him in Jinfuren's bed,"
Lan Xichen howled, clutching at his beard.
"Offering his aid, my foot. He has been offering himself to your sworn brother's widow this whole time."
Lan Xichen frowned. "There must be some mistake. Wang Ji has always kept his distance from women. And what do you mean Zhang Zongzhu caught him?"
"Ni Zongzhu writes that Jin Rulan had a nightmare and asked his uncle to accompany him to Jin Feren's door. The child opened the door on his own when his knock went unanswered, and Zhang Zongzhu saw. The two of them were unclad, and Wang Ji was..."
"Oh, heavens," Lan Xichen said faintly, and a split second later, he burst out of Meisha and ran off towards his own quarters. He reached the Jinling Tai by dawn, windswept and breathless, as he let himself into the guest wing. And as soon as he entered, he found Wang Ji waiting for him with a tea tray and a set of fresh robes.
"I mean to marry her," was the first thing he said. "With or without your leave,
Zhang Zhang." The blood drained from Lan Xichen's face. "You cannot."
"I will."
"She is a widow, my sworn brother's own.
None of the five great clans have ever forbidden a widow's remarriage."
"Yes, but still..." Wang Ji put his head to one side.
"I love her."
"You have never spoken to her before her husband was buried, and that was less than a year ago."
"I loved her before her husband was buried. The time is of no consequence."
Lan Xichen was certain that he had gone mad. "Before?"
"Years before, if I'm being fully honest."
At that last, Lan Xichen collapsed upon the Luhan bed by the window and put his hand to his heart to steady its pounding.
"Your reputation will be ruined."
"I care nothing for that," his brother said.
Then think of hers, if you hold so little care for your own,"
begged Lan Xichen.
"I was her accomplice when she murdered her husband," Lan Xichen said, Lan Wangji said, shrugging.
Reputation means little to either of us, Xiong Sheng. Lan Zichen went still.
What did you say?
He breathed.
You murdered?
She and I killed Jin Guanyao together, Lan Wenji said simply. She did the killing as was her right, and I arranged the scene to resemble a Yao Guai's attack after the thing was done.
Zichen stared up at him, expecting to find a stranger peering at him from behind his brother's eyes. But to his disbelief, the steady gaze fixed upon his face was as much Wang Ji's as ever.
How could you? He whispered. How could he? Lan Wenji retorted. Silence.
What of Su Songzhu? Lan Zichen asked, his lips trembling. Did she kill him too?
No, said Wang Ji. And then, before Lan Zichen could betray his relief, I did.
A gasp tore through Lan Zichen's throat. Hashan!
It was right, his brother murmured, as simple as a child's. It was right. It had to be done. And with that, he bowed and saw himself out of the room, leaving Lan Zichen more bewildered than ever behind him. Jin Su married Wang Ji within a month's time and left her regent's seat to her mother-in-law, and this, Lan Zichen thought, was the proof that some power beyond his wildest imaginations had taken hold of the Jianghu. No one agreed with him other than Shufu, since the rest of the cultivation world seemed to think that Hong Gongjun had simply yielded to the temptation in anticipation of marriage, as many among their number had done. Since Wang Ji had married the woman he compromised, and done so gladly, for he made no effort to conceal his delight during their very public wedding, it was generally agreed upon that even Lans were creatures of flesh and blood, and could perhaps be forgiven the odd indiscretion if they were indiscreet wholeheartedly. But even Lan Zichen was forced to admit that the newlywed couple were happy. And, for better or worse, Wang Ji's love for Qin Su had mended the wounds Wei Wuxian had left upon his spirit. She was a devoted wife to him, and a devoted mother to Shizui. And when Jin Ling came to the cloud recesses to see her, she doted upon him so tenderly that Jun Wan Yin was often hard pressed to coax the baby boy back. She doted on him so tenderly that Jun Wan Yin was often hard pressed to coax the boy back to the Lotus Pier.
Perhaps it was all for the best,
Lan Jiren said gloomily, as at small Lan Yu's full moon celebration.
Zhao Yu is very sweet, and Wang Ji has been happy. And what is more, he has all but forgotten Wei Wuxian.
If you say so, Shufu. Lan Jiren sighed.
And you're certain that your Dishi killed her former husband?
Yes, uncle.
Well, at least Wang Ji comes by it honestly, his uncle lamented. He's not any worse than your father, and Qing Su clearly wanted to marry him, so I suppose it could have been a great deal worse. Lan Jiren choked and tried not to scream. Author's notes. And that's a wrap. Come say hi on Tumblr at Stilton Basket and comment to feed your local Wonksian stand today. Bonus note. The MDZS food zine will be available for free on Tumblr at MXTXFoodZine starting October 31st. Heart. Reader's notes. I feel like I've always said zine and then, like, at some point I realized other people said zine, so that's why I stumbled on that word a little bit there. Tell me how you say zine/zine in the comments. So this fic was so fun. It's always interesting to see Wonksian from like a third party's POV to just see how exactly deranged they are, right? So that was very fun. I definitely picked up in the first scene where it was like, oh, Wong Ji had to comfort her at the funeral. That was, that was like a nice little tidbit for us, like at the very beginning, like, but I will confess, I didn't realize that they had murdered him together, and then Wong Ji already knew. I figured, like, oh, Wei Wuxian woke up, this happened, and then, like, maybe it was at the funeral that Lan Wangji realized it was Wei Ying. That's really fun that, yeah, they, that they've been planning it all along. I'm curious how that actually happens, right? Because, you know, in canon, right, like, Wei Ying wakes up and Mo Zhongyu's body, and, you know, he assumes that Lan Zhan hates him, right? And so he's trying to avoid him. So I wonder how they ended up, you know, linking up in this particular universe, right? So that's really cool to think about. Poor Jung Chung, right? Finding out all of this. I'm curious about Neo Huaisong here, right? Like, he's clearly he has a motive here, and I can't tell if he's trying to foil Wei Wuxian or in this particular universe to kind of oust him, or if he's, kind of in on the plan, and this is just trying to clue Lan Xichen in is part of it, right? Or like, it's interesting, right? And I love the detail at the end where it's like, oh yeah, like, Jinling loves him so much. Wei Ying, he's doted upon, and they're able to have a blood kiddo of their own as well, because Wei Ying gets to be a woman, and like, oh, such a doting wife. Like, oh my god, so funny hearing it from a third party, right? It's interesting. I did see the in the tags, which I didn't read. It said like a little bit of hints of Dark G, but not really. So you definitely see a little bit of that, right? Where it's like Wang Ji being like, you know, I'll do what I want, you know, like, I just want to be with Wei Ying, whatever that means. You definitely get a little hint of that. So, nice to have a little different flavor of Wang Ji than I usually get from Stilton Basket. Which is maybe where the part of the crack comes from. I am surprised that they went and they lived at Cloud Recesses after that. I was kind of anticipating maybe they went off and did something else. They stayed and kind of were sect leaders of the gene. But they came and lived at Cloud Recesses, and Lan Xichen was like, I guess this is just what I'm gonna deal with, right? Yeah.
But yeah, that's, and then Sishui is still there, which is good too. So they get to have their own little family, but, yeah, I think that's all I have to say about this one. This was so, this is so fun. I love a little crack story. Yeah, you love to have a little bit of a little different canon divergence. So their authors at the beginning. So who should Weiwuxian wake up as next? I feel like everybody has been explored, right? But like, I feel like every version of it is so good. There's one that's the head disciple of the Su clan, which is like a really interesting one, which actually doesn't have a podfic. That's one of those things that's been on my list to potentially reach out, but I'm too shy. I don't know, like, what about the ultimate crack would be him coming back as like little Apple. Like, Mojuan Yu made a mistake and it gets redirected to little Apple instead. Maybe something like that would be good for a crack. I have to think about it some more to see if there's like a good untapped font. But I think the ones where it's Chinsu like really make a lot of sense to me. And I think are really interesting, can be really interesting explorations of Chinsu's character, right? Because we don't really get a lot of her in canon. And even though, you know, her dying, you know, like being able to see through her experience that way is like a different approach to it. I think I'll leave it here. Please send your messages along to the Little Basket if you have your own ideas of who Weiwuxian should wake up as. I'm gonna leave it here. If you enjoyed the story, please consider going back and leaving kudos in our comments for the original author in AO3. Thanks again to Stilton Basket for having blanket permission to Podfic, as always. Thanks for listening. Bye.